friends, welcome to Pursuing True North. I'm Jenny Scioto, and this week, Catherine King and I got to talk with Shelley Sasson, who is the executive director at The Well Outreach in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Shelley tells us all about her journey and what brought her to The Well Outreach, along with the three tiers that The Well does to serve the community. Join with us and listen to this amazing interview.
We are so excited to sit with you, Shelley. It is so nice to meet you, and we are looking forward to talking all about you and about the wonderful work that you do. So, Shelley, please tell us a little bit about you and about your testimony, just whatever you feel like sharing with us.
Sure. Thank you for having me here today, too, just have the opportunity to be with other women and just have a time to sit and have some quiet time and reflect and share. So I am pretty much a Tennessee resident. I grew up here in the Franklin area, one of those few rare people that actually are from the area that they live in.
Definitely.
Been here about 40 years. It's funny, I grew up, actually, I started off in the Brentwood community, then went to Franklin, and now I'm in Spring Hill, so I'm moving further south with each move. my background just is... My professional background was in doing large national marketing campaigns for companies. I did that for about 12 years. And then I was a business owner, and I really, really enjoyed that as an entrepreneur. But my personal background, a little bit about me and where I've come from in my walk of faith, started off, I would say, as a child, really just learning about God. And I think I was really introduced on a personal one-to-one relationship with God at one of those old-timey vacation Bible schools where they used to have them like in your neighbor's garage. And I remember being a five-year-old going there and hearing about a personal relationship with God and coming home and telling my parents that, you know, I wanted Jesus in my heart. And so that's really how I was introduced to God, more in a personal kind of one-on-one relationship.
In a garage, huh?
In a garage.
That's awesome.
One of those, you never know about those vacation Bible schools, the impact they have on them. So that was where my walk started.
Okay. So that was about, how old were you there?
Well, I was about 5 years old. So very, very young, and not really understand God's plan for me or what that meant, and really fully the scope of what he did for me, but just knowing that I wanted a relationship with God and that he did come to die for me. As I went through my teenage years, I really enjoyed serving at my church, and that was a way just to kind of express my faith. As I got older and I went more into my business, because I ended up being a business owner, what I found is that we all get real busy in our lives, and we feel like, well, we're supposed to be a mom first and a wife and then a business owner. And I think sometimes we forget that God can still use us in those capacities. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah. So at one point I owned a couple different businesses going back and forth between different communities. And at a certain point, we had some kind of some personal tragedy in our life. And through that, God gave me the opportunity just to sit and to understand what grief was and what it meant, and to understand that everything isn't as you expect it. And I had a choice of either, you know, sinking into that grief or that tragedy, or living outside of myself and saying, there's nothing I can do with this right now, but what can I do? What is it that gives me joy in my life? Because joy doesn't have to be something that you buy, you know what I mean, or something that if you have
right.
money or you have wealth or you have fame. And what I did after kind of some deep introspection and just kind of sitting in that period was I realized that the thing that gave me the greatest joy was in serving others. And kind of like that Viktor Frankl quote where he says, and I may have to paraphrase it here, but something like, you know, happiness is fleeting and that's not what's going to give purpose in your life. But it's meaning. What gives you meaning in your life is what's going to make you happy. And for me, what gave me meaning was serving. So I'd be glad to kind of tell you more about that. But that was really a turning point for me when I realized that serving others, regardless of my circumstances, is what gave me joy. And then how God used me in different capacities.
So you chose joy out of your grief.
Oh.
And that led to you doing work with service.
Yes,
that's
absolutely.
Really neat.
I have just an amazing mother. She's 81 years old, and she had always taught me to choose joy regardless of your circumstances. And, you know, when things are going really well, you don't really have to make that choice as much.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when you have circumstances after circumstances where you have no control, where you're trying to get through, it really is a conscious decision. And so she taught me to really choose joy regardless of my circumstances. And so that was a big turning point in my personal life. And what I found out, even taking it one step further, was that I think I just felt like being a businesswoman and a mom and a wife, I was so busy in those titles and those roles that I kind of forgot that God could use me in any capacity, because I felt like if you were going to serve at a church or serve in a ministry, that you needed to be like ordained in that role, maybe go to theology school or those kinds of things. But what I found was that God uses us where we are. And he even used my business skills and my communication skills. And so I was able to come onto church staff, and my job was that in a role of hospitality and connections. And so it was kind of helping people and processes come together for God's ministry. And that is where I really felt probably the best point of my life, that God had me serving him in the role that he wanted me to be. And it's not necessarily what I thought it was going to be.
It usually isn't, is it? I mean, you hear people's testimonies and stories, and we all kind of start one way, and then you end up doing, God leads you through that path, that journey where you don't get to see what's coming, but he's preparing you the whole time.
Yeah.
And you just don't get to know it until it shows up.
I know. So. Yeah. It's really about trusting too, because you think like you have to kind of predefine, well, this is where I can help, or this is what I can do. But it's about allowing yourself to be open and choosing joy and letting him choose you too, I think.
Yes. So when you left from your own businesses and decided to close the door there, did you immediately go to the well, or did you have some other ministry before that?
Well, I have to say I'm probably one of those overachiever people in that running a couple companies, and that was when I started feeling called into doing work really for God and to doing some ministry work, but mostly in helping connect people and loving on people. And so I started off with some grassroots ministries at the local church level. I helped put together the Room at the Inn ministry, which is serving the homeless at the local church. And so I did that here at a church in Franklin. And for about 6 months of the year, we would welcome 10 to 20 homeless neighbors into our church. We would prepare a meal for them. We would provide some kind of entertainment or watch TV together. I recruited my sister, who helped eventually start a ministry called Nashville Street Barbers, which is also serving the homeless, but she would cut hair for them. And then we would give them a warm and a safe place to sleep. And so for that one night, they knew that they were loved and that they had their needs met and they didn't have to be scared. And so I started off doing that at the local church level. Started also working out with an organization called Shower Up, which provides showers for the homeless that are out of Spring Hill here also. So when I was doing all of that, then I joined church staff. So I was managing two businesses. And also on church staff, which ended up being 20 or 30 hours a week.
Did you sleep?
Yeah.
Did you sleep? Do you only sleep 2 hours a night? Like, what is your trick? What's your secret? Because the level of energy it sounds like you've been given is kind of a natural
thing,
is it? Or do you do something for that? Because I need to know.
I don't know. I just feel like sometimes when you're in that sweet spot, like when it just comes to you, you know what I mean? And so, like, the light that probably was in my life was just strongest at that time, because I was able to still help support my family, but to be able to do something I really felt God had called me into. So to answer your question, to get back to that, it was a period where I just felt like, gosh, God, you're able to use me in a way that I didn't even know I could do. And maybe this is something you're calling me into full time. My family and I, we were lucky, and we had a local business that we'd had for 21 years, which you never hear about these days. And,
no, that's amazing.
Putting up with trying to figure out different, you know, market changes and competition, all that stuff. But it got to a point where we were able to sell that business after 21 years. And it was at that point that I realized that maybe God was calling me into doing this full time.
Okay. Yes. So tell us about The Well. How long have you been there? And also just tell us what you do to serve the community. And is it just art, this community, or is it surrounding?
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Sure. Okay. Thank you. So The Well is going on its 13th year of operations, and it started off at a local church here in Spring Hill. It started off as a true pantry. So we say we're a food pantry now, but it was a true pantry. It was like in a closet. And at that time, I think 2006, Spring Hill only had about 9,000 people here. So much different than where we are now. I think, are we about 45,000?
I think we're pushing 50.
Yeah. Now. So really, really different. Of course, I was only 13 years ago. But started off in response to a need to an actual congregation at the church. And they saw the growth trajectory of Spring Hill, and they wanted to start putting, you know, a layer of foundational support to their own congregation.
That was so prophetic and so smart, because a lot of us are so used to, okay, what's the need right now, much less being able to plan for it. So I love that God put that knowledge and that wisdom into his people to take care of the population that wasn't even there yet.
They did a great job. And, you know, sometimes I guess it's just listening. You know what I mean? Like listening, like, what do you want me to do, God? But it wasn't me. Someone else started this. I've just been on recently. But it started off at the local church. After about 2 or 3 years, I was doing great work. And I think it was, you know, meeting a need. But we decided as an organization that although we operate on Christian principles, everything we do is to really to share the love and be the hands and feet of Christ. And we try to do, our culture is based on Christian principles, but we didn't want to be a church organization. We didn't want it to be someone who was far away from God or didn't have a relationship with that specific church, but like they couldn't come and get food there.
That makes sense.
And so we became a freestanding nonprofit after about 3 years of starting, and we moved into our current location on Main Street. And so we became a 501(c), you know, a freestanding nonprofit. At that point, we started off, we were just originally serving the community of Spring Hill. And as the community started growing, you know, 9,000, 12,000, 15,000, 20,000, we started seeing different needs within the community. We tried to stay true to what we were, a food and hunger organization. But we realized there were other communities around very close to us that we could make a difference in and to support them. And so now we currently serve 5 communities. We serve Spring Hill, Thompson Station, College Grove, Santa Fe, and we're up to about 40% of Columbia, which is a huge
Columbia is huge, yes.
Columbia is definitely on our radar right now. We're trying to listen and to decide where God wants us to go next, whether it's possibly serving more in Columbia or maybe doing a second location. But to go deeper into Columbia right now, it would require probably about 2 or 3 times our operating budget.
Okay.
So The Well, what we're doing right now is we do 3 different pillars of hunger support. And so we offer an everyday pantry where people can come to The Well. We try to bridge the gap so people aren't having to choose between making a decision between paying their rent or buying food. There's no proof of need required, so people don't come and have to like say, you know, I really need this or this is my income. There's no proof of need required. And we do ask that they live in one of the 5 communities that we serve. And if someone comes outside of those 5 communities, we always serve them the first time because we want to help bridge that gap. And then we'll try to connect them with a local resource. So if they're, you know, in the other part of Columbia we don't serve, we'll try to find somewhere else there.
Okay.
And then the food pantry, they can come 2 times a month to that. As I said, we just ask for a proof of ID to show that they live in one of those 5 communities and to track how many times a month they come. And then eventually we'll ask for a proof of residence, which once again shows they're part of that 5 community.
Okay. So those were 2 pillars, right?
That's
just one pillar.
That's
okay.
The food pantry.
Yeah.
And the food pantry, if you don't mind if I can show you
please.
Just a little bit about how we do it. I think it's really unique. And once again, this is nothing that I've done. This is how the organization was started after and just listening to our community. And just, we have a ton of volunteers. So our volunteers are really shape what The Well is today. But when someone comes into The Well, a lot of food pantries, when you meet your guest at the door, a lot of times the food pantries will just give a guest a bag of food, which is wonderful. But we always try to do something a little bit different. And our goal is to really recognize others and to see Christ in them and to let them see Christ in the volunteers there. So we always invite them in. They'll sign in the lobby, and then they'll be called back one-on-one into a safe room where they have a chance just to kind of, you know, let their shoulders settle, to have a chance just to share their story. We never ask their story, but we find that when they get back there and the door closes, they know they're in a safe place, they know their needs are gonna be met, that a lot of times they wanna share their story. And so we just wanna listen, and we wanna recognize, and we wanna offer hope. And so in that room, it's all run by volunteers, kind of our more senior volunteers. They'll meet, and we'll ask them, you know, how we can help them. We'll track what visit it is that month. We'll look at their family size. We can determine the need that we're, the quantity of food that we're going to give them that day. And then at the end, we always offer to pray with them. And then when they're done with that room, then we'll take them back into the pantry. And this pantry, have you been there to the well before?
Yes.
It's small, isn't it?
Yes.
It's really small. It's like maybe 400 square feet or 600 square feet right there. So it's not like really, but it does great work. Sometimes I'll be taking people through and I'll say, you know, this room is really small and very humble, but the great, great work is really done out of this room. So we'll take them into that room and we'll turn them over to another set of volunteers. So we'll usually have about 10 volunteers serving on any time we're open in the pantry. And then the guest is given a personal shopper, which will help them pick their items, and then also a personal bagger. So they'll, and then once again, going back to recognizing someone, we try to offer choices. So like I talked about other food pantries, where maybe you're just giving them food. When someone comes back, we let them shop. And so by shopping,
that's a really unique piece. I like that a lot.
Yeah. We just think that being able to give someone choices restores dignity and restores hope. And a lot of times when they've come to us, they've lost all their dignity or they've lost their choices.
It's hard enough for somebody to probably come and say, hey, I'm struggling to feed my family. I'm struggling to feed myself.
Absolutely.
That's a hard ask anyway. So to be able to give them, hey, this isn't just what we've chosen to give you. We want you to have maybe you have a child who won't eat half the stuff, because some kids are really difficult eaters. I mean, there's all kinds of and dietary needs. Jenny would have to read all the labels to everything. So it's probably a really good, that's an amazing piece of how this pantry is run. So,
well, and it also does the second thing in that we're 100% community funded. So when we get money coming in or when we get food donated, we want to be good stewards of that. So I don't want to give you taco meal extender, so, you know, like hamburger helper for tacos or lasagna helper. If you're allergic, or tuna helper, say, for example, if you're allergic to tuna, I don't want to give you tuna helper.
Right.
Because it's making, well, we're not good stewards of the food that's given to us. And so we let them choose. We let them shop. And so once again, trying to restore dignity and offer hope, but also to be good stewards of our money. So,
and is that pillar two?
That's pillar one. That's still the food
pantry.
We're
still on the same pillar. Oh my goodness. I'm like, I feel like all these beautiful different chunks of it. I'm like, oh, that's the next one. Oh, that's the next piece. I'm thinking pillars isn't, yes. Okay.
Well,
I'll stop asking the pillar question.
I always try to explain the process, because I think it's important. One, like if you're actually someone coming, I don't want it to be scary or prohibitive, you know, so it's like kind of good to know how it works. Yes. So that's what I was trying to do. But also I just think for all of the different organizations and individuals and churches that support us, I think it's for them important to see all the different steps that we try to do, and that we try to make really conscientious decisions on how we're doing these things. So that's pillar one, the pantry.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Last year we served about 5,000 people through our pantry. And
just last year?
Yeah, so that's in 2018.
Wow.
2018 over 17, so if you look at those 2 years, in 2018 we served 35% more people through our pantry, so a double-digit year. And then in 2019, where we are now, we're also up double digits. So for the last 2 years, we've had double digit growth coming through our pantry.
Wow.
So the need is definitely here.
The area is growing.
Yeah.
Tremendously too, so.
And that's another thing we can talk about if you want to after I get through the pillar two and three, but just the audiences that we're able to help and stuff. But so pillar two is actually our mobile food pantry. So we talked about when someone comes to our pantry, they need to live in one of those five communities because we only have a certain, you know, limited amount of funding to give. But pillar two is our mobile food pantry. And so that's where we'll try to partner with a church or maybe a corporation. So for example, I think it's October 11th. I need to double check on that, but I think it's October 11th coming up. We're doing a mobile food pantry at Spring Hill High School, and we have Mars Pet Care. They've sponsored that for us. So what that looks like, our food that we do get when we have to buy food, if it's not donated to us, we partner with Second Harvest Food Bank. And so when we buy food, we buy it for pennies on the pound. So when someone actually goes through our pantry, they're going to leave with about 60 to 80 items or about a week's worth of groceries. If we have to actually buy that food, it costs us $34.76. Now, if you were going to have to buy it, it'd cost you over $100. So when we do our mobile food pantry, once again, we buy a big semi-truck full of food, and we buy it for pennies on the pound. So we buy 20,000 pounds of food for, drumroll, can I do a drumroll now?
Yep, you can drumroll. There you go.
Okay, for $2,500, 20,000 pounds of food.
Wow.
So, and that serves 20,000 meals. So, so our mobile food pantries, we do those about 8 a year. This is our second pillar still. We usually look for community sponsors to buy that, and then we'll do that, and anyone can come to this mobile food pantry. They don't have to live in one of those five areas.
Okay.
So that's a good way to bridge the gap if they're a family in crisis and or maybe they're outside of our area. This is another way that they can get food. And that's nice. A very meaningful. When we do that, we usually feed about 150 families. We have between 100 to 125 volunteers. One of the things I've been kind of promoting and kind of trying to have our culture represent at the Well is I've come in and implemented this saying, it takes a community to feed a community. And it really is all of us pulling together. It's not, we're not trying to solve a community's problems. We want to advocate for this group of people that need help, and then come to you, come to businesses, come to churches and say, let's do this all together. And so the mobile food pantry enables us to come together with about 100 to 150 community counterparts to serve that day.
Oh, so are, can children be involved in serving?
Yeah, good question. Absolutely. In fact, it's really often that we'll have a whole family show up. You know, the little six-year-old will be helping. Sometimes you're just counting how many loaves of bread are unloaded on this pallet. You know what I mean? My 83-year-old dad gets out there and he helps allocate the food. So definitely family friendly. And since we're doing about 8 a year, it's about every 6 weeks. And so we'll post those on our website, and we'll usually do a sign-up genius and put it on our Facebook page too, so families can serve together.
That's awesome. Oh.
And then the third pillar that we do is our jetpacks. Have you heard of the jetpacks?
Yes. Yes, I see them. The school sends you 8,000 papers every time the kids start school, and you have to fill them all out, and you see the little jetpack one, and I've seen it was with the Well. I thought, oh, that's pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, within our communities, we're in Williamson County and Murray County is who we focus on. And, of course, you know, Williamson County is such a wealthy county within our nation, but there's still quite a substantial number of people under the poverty line. A lot of the construction workers and people that are coming here to help support our community, they move here to work and then realize the cost of living is so high. So the jetpack meals, what that is it's providing weekend meal assistance. And so if you go to schools right now, you've heard about people get like free and reduced lunch at our schools. They get that when they sign up for food stamps. And so if they're eligible for food stamps, the government will then provide them either a breakfast and a lunch, actually, if you're a student, if you're eligible for that. But when they go home over the weekend, there's still that same need. And so what the Well does is we partner once again with Second Harvest Food Bank, and we buy all our food there for pennies on the pound. And we organize this weekend meal assistance bag. It's not like real fancy to look at. It comes like in a blue plastic bag with a Ziploc thing at the top. But it's four meals to get the student through the weekend. And right now, the well is able to serve 18 schools, 7 in Murray County and 11 in Williamson County. And we provide about 350 bags a week during school. So about 40 weeks of the year when the kids are in school, we do 350 bags a week. And of course, each bag represents 4 meals. So last year in 2018, we gave away, sorry, a lot of numbers here, but I think it's impactful. In 2018, we gave away 12,000 weekend meal bags, and so that equaled about 50,000 meals.
And you guys put these together every week?
Well, like this is the beauty of it. We do it every week, but what the well has done is, once again, going back to that takes a community to feed a community, we could just have them put together at the well, like our volunteers, pack them, everything. Mm-hmm. But what we've really, our goal was to partner with our community on this. So we buy all the food, we organize it, we get the quantities right, you know, because the Pop Tops might come in quantities of 24, or the cheese crackers come in quantities of 8, and figure out all of the math on it. Mm-hmm. And then we partner with the local church. So we have 18 to 20 church partners that financially help support this, and then we'll buy all the food, we'll deliver it to the local church. The local church will recruit like small groups or ministry groups who then assemble the bags, and then that local church then has the relationship and the opportunity to partner with the school. So it's this beautiful circle of all of us coming together to support that child.
And this is a really nice way. So people can go get food stamps and they can go get assistance from the government, but this is the local churches, the local Christian community, and other partners as well that all kind of cross all those barriers and just offer another way to serve people and help take care of their needs that isn't necessarily just coming from the government or coming from our taxes. This is above and beyond that.
You know, it's us taking care of our own. It really is. It's saying we're a community and we belong to each other.
And this is, we love our neighbors as ourselves.
Yes.
That's what the well sounds like.
The other thing about that, I mean, it's just a real obvious thing, but sometimes, like, you know, regardless of why the families might be in the circumstances, the children are never at fault in this, whether it's someone making a bad decision or, you know, the adult that's lost their job, or if the children, you know, they don't have any part in this or any control or any voice. They're within a family structure. And so to be able to help the little children and this, and we do it at the elementary, middle, and high school level. So,
okay.
Yeah.
That's neat. That's awesome. The jetpack. So I hear there's so much partnership that's already going on. What about people who aren't necessarily in those churches that are, because I know we're not, I believe, in a church that does partner with the well per se, but how can those of us who aren't hearing it from our local church, how can we get involved?
Yeah, good question. The well is a little bit constrained right now because of the size of our building, and so I'm trying to have our organization think outside the size of our building, because we can only fit so many volunteers in there. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of different opportunities. Of course, if you go back to just the three different pillars that we've talked about, you know, at the pantry, you can sign up to volunteer at the pantry. And it's really, really easy. Just go to our website, springhillwell.org, and there's a volunteer with us tab. You can either sign up two different ways to work or to serve in the pantry. The first is an ongoing kind of volunteer. And so we'll call you in for an orientation. We'll, you know, walk you through everything and explain it. The second is a community service. So a lot of times our students that are getting like the Tennessee Promise scholarships, or people that need community service hours, they have an opportunity to sign up at our website and to come in and serve at the pantry. And we put together a monthly schedule of that. Now, that is going to be more probably like a, you know, a 13-year-old up. You know, it's not going to be, although families can come in together. So if a mom and dad comes in and they want to bring their 8-year-old, as long as they're going to, there's certainly that opportunity. The second way is the mobile food pantries that we talked about. And that also would be under our volunteer tab. And that's going to give you just a real, you know, a real quick way to volunteer, like a one-day event. It's not going to be an ongoing monthly kind of thing. And it's just, I'm telling you, like when you bring those kids there and you see them seeing how they can help in the ways that they can, just by counting something or just offering a smile, you know, or something very simple, it's really very meaningful. If you were hoping to volunteer at the jetpack level, we are looking for community and business sponsors. Currently, I'm having, in fact, later tomorrow, a meeting with Dr. Marzek, who's the superintendent of Maury County Schools. They have 6 schools that are waiting and looking for a Jetpack partner right now. So they know they've identified students in need and no one has come up financially to support them. And so we're starting conversations with them, looking at those 5 to 6 schools, trying to quantify those numbers, talking with the principals of those schools saying, the well would like to help with this. We're going to figure out a way. We're going to either, you know, recruit or advocate to find someone to support. And so that would be a way financially if an organization just said, you know, I want to help support that new school and we'll give you $400 to $1,000 a month. They could do it that way. Or if there's another group of people that says, you know, well, we don't really have the financial means, but we can come and put those together. So those would be ways to help with the Jetpacks.
Okay.
We also have one other volunteer thing I should probably tell you. The well has been really blessed. We're doing 2 major fundraisers a year, and we've taken on a brand new fundraiser. It's a huge event. It's called the Whole Hog Festival. It's Spring Hills, it used to be called the Country Ham Festival. So it was around here for about 12 years. And it was started originally as a community festival to bring everybody together to support the nonprofits in our community. We're working with our title sponsor, John Mayer Builders, and we've rebranded it this year. The Well was asked to run it this year as a fundraiser for The Well. And initially, we were a little bit concerned because we're a very small organization. We only have 4 employees that work at The Well. And this is an event that attracts anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000 people.
It's a big event.
It's a really big event. You should see my office wall right now. I have like things taped all to the wall. But anyways, we had an opportunity, and it fit perfectly with where we were going as an organization, and that we really feel, like I said before, that we belong to each other, and it takes a community to feed a community. And my goal was to do a fundraiser that brought the whole community together to support The Well, to hear about the mission of The Well, but also to come together and have a family fun-filled day. So we're doing the Whole Hog Festival. It's on Saturday, October 5th. It's coming up just 2 weekends from now. We have 20 food trucks, we have 35 craft vendors, we have 35 kid zone areas. We have a full entertainment lineup with a huge headliner, High Valley. And we have a dunking booth, we have a petting zoo, we end the day
Sounds like so much fun.
It's gonna be awesome. We're gonna end the day with a fireworks show. But to do this, we need our community. And so we need volunteers for it. So we're looking for volunteers to help us do setup on next Thursday and Friday. We're asking for volunteers to work that Saturday at the event and then Sunday to help clean up. So another way to volunteer if anyone's interested.
That's wonderful. It is the website again? I know you said it once.
Springhillwell.org.
Okay.
Would be the best way to find out about volunteering. There'll be a sign-up genius on there, and they could sign up for volunteers.
Sign-up genius is great.
I know.
We use that all the time. I like that one.
Boy, it takes a lot of headache out for sure. So.
Yes.
Well, is there anything else that you would like to talk about or mention, whether it be about The Well or personally?
I guess I would just like to thank this community. I've never seen a more generous community. We have instances come up all the time where we'll have a family in need or we're really low in the pantry, you know, where we don't have enough food to get us through maybe the week. And this is the most generous community I've ever seen. I mean, we'll have people just show up at our door with a check, and we haven't even put the ask out there, but they see the work. And we just would really like to thank the community that we're living in, all of the churches and the businesses, the individual donors, the people that are coming in. We have a great senior citizen community that comes in and serves at The Well. We have people who go pick up our food at Publix and Target and, you know, bring it to us. That's what they do each week. You know, they just bring us the food that's coming from Second Harvest Food Bank. All of the little ways and all of the details. We really are a volunteer organization with just a couple staff people, and I would just like to thank this community for their support and also your opportunity for giving us a voice today.
We are so grateful for you to take time out of your extremely busy getting ready for a huge festival schedule to sit down and talk with us today. So we thank you so much for being here with us, Shelley.
Thank you so much.
There's some great stuff going on in the world around us. If you want to volunteer or learn more about the well, their website is springhillwell.org. And as always, you can find Catherine and myself at pursuingtruenorth.com. See you all next time.